Had a wonderful day today. We had breakfast first thing in the morning with some of the guys, and then we went riding around down to, what was it, Brevard and Franklin?
Where were we?
Say, Mills River. We went to Mills River. What was that little town we were in?
Hendersonville,
that's the one I wanted. And just had a great day. Well, what'd you do to the land up here? It's all full of bumps and hills and mountains. We were standing on a place up on the parkway today. It was like 2,100 feet above sea level. Where I'm from, my house is 8 feet above sea level. But what a beautiful place you get to live, and what a beautiful place you get to worship. And what a great Lord we serve, amen? I told you last night that we were looking at how the first century believers lived. And the thing that powered them was their total belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you understand that fact, that there is a God, and there is one God who created all from nothing, ex nihilo, your professor would teach you in Bible college, out of nothing. And that same God is a God who created you and loves you and has a purpose for you. And you're divinely made in His image, and you're divinely stationed for His glory if you will accept His Son as Lord and Savior. So we talked about those things last night. Tonight, I want to kind of focus on that we need to be a church because of those things that live with hope. No matter what's going on around us, we're a people that live with hope. I remember a comedian back in the 1970s, and his name was Yakov Smirnov. Anybody remember him? And he was a Russian, and he came to the United States, and he just loved America. And he'd walk around the cities and just look up and just was amazed. He'd walk through stores and just be amazed at the abundance that we have here in America. And he walked through a grocery store. What's the big name grocery store up here? Huh?
Ingles.
Let's say he's walking through Ingles. And he's walking down an aisle and he sees powdered milk. And he's picked it up and he says, "You just add water? And you add milk, and you get milk. You get milk. You water and powder, and you get milk." And then he walked down another aisle, and he saw powdered eggs. And he says, "You just add water, and you have the powder, and you get eggs." And then he walked down another aisle, and he saw baby powder. And he said, "What a great country." I kind of think of what God says when He looks down on us. When He looked down at the first century church and He saw them giving all their all for Jesus Christ, sacrificing their all, being persecuted, being taunted, yet lived with vibrancy, yet lived with excitement, even though they were being thrown to the lions in the Roman Colosseum. And even as they're thrown to the lions, the Romans were amazed because they just saw the joy and almost a glow on those faces that were dying. And then you hear stories of people that are giving their life for Jesus and they were persecuted. And their faith just rippled. Even though they died, the martyrs just rippled through the land. And I wonder if God looks at us in 21st century America, and is He saying, "Wow, what a great church that lives here in Oak Grove, in the mountains of North Carolina." Well, I know for one reason He does. And He says, "Wow," because of this church. Because you are holding out the hope of life for people in this area. You're holding out His Son, Jesus Christ. You're holding out the Word of truth. You're teaching people that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And even though it sounds harsh to this generation, and no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. So, you know, we've been through difficult times in the past couple years. And I know it's been difficult with the COVID outbreak, and that was such a difficult time for the church. But even in difficult times, there are just times for us to flourish as God's people. And they said if you survive the COVID lockdown, there were kind of four outcomes. First, you turned into a hunk because you bought the Peloton and you couldn't go to work and you just worked out all day long and you really got in the best physical shape of your life. And the next time they said, well, the next thing, if you didn't become a hunk, you became a chunk because you just sat on the couch all day watching TV and eating all kind of stuff you shouldn't be eating. And then other ones, they said, well, you turned into a drunk because in their wisdom of modern man, they closed the churches and they kept the ABC stores open. And many people have fallen into many problems with alcohol because of that. Or the final thing they said, if you cloistered yourself and just hung out at home, you became like a monk. Now, I don't know which affected you, but John is going to tell you tonight as you leave which one he thinks you are. I know we faced difficult times in the past couple years, but the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 2:12-14. He says, we are being led daily in triumphal procession in Jesus Christ. And what he was envisioning was the Roman triumph. And if a general won a certain territory, or if he captured so many troops, they would bring him to Rome, and they would put him on a white stallion and put him on a chariot, and they'd be paraded down to the Circus Maximus, down to the Colosseum, where they would put the Christians on the captives before the lions. And the priests would carry censers. And if you were part of the victorious Roman army, that smell was the smell of victory and the smell of life. But if you were one of the captives, it was the smell of your death that was coming. And Paul is saying, he had that in mind when he said, because we're Christians, we are being led daily in triumphal procession. And today I just want to remind us, tonight I want to remind us that we should be people of great hope, even in the most difficult times. They say you can live without food for 40 days. I have trouble with that because I'm hungry at 8 o'clock when I get up. At 11 o'clock, I'm thinking about what I want to have for lunch. And at 3 o'clock, I'm thinking about what I want to have for dinner. So, they say you can last 40 days without food. 3 days without water, you can live. 4 minutes without air. And you can't live more than 2 seconds without hope. And I know every one of us have sung this song when we were young in church. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Sing it with me. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you believe that with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, no matter what we face, we are living on the rock of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will be triumphant. We will be individually triumphant, even going through difficult times, because it gives us an idea and a time to share our testimony. And even in the church, when the church goes through great times, and all churches have times where the Spirit of God is moving, and then they go through times of transition, and then there's a time of decline, and then there's a time of great revival. And if we believe that with this your faith in this church is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? So tonight we want to talk about godly hope. First of all, godly hope liberates. The hope that I have in Jesus took me from the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light of His Son and in the church. There was a time, even though when I was a young boy, I was raised by my mom who took us to church. And I went to church and I learned the stories about Jesus, but when I got to be a teenager, I started running with the crowd. And I started, when I got older, I was still a good, hardworking person and a quote moral person, but Jesus was not part of my life. But then there came a time when you saw that the world could not satisfy your soul. Only God, who created your soul, can satisfy your soul. When I got to that point that I said, Lord, I need you to start running Dennis's life, not Dennis, then that liberated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of God's Son and His church. And then that motivates us, because it's a springboard for a comeback. And every person who's ever been down, every church has ever been down, those times, if we have the right leadership and we have the right attitude and we have faith in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, it's a time to motivate us for a springboard for a comeback. And I'm sensing right here at Oak Grove, there's a great springboard for a comeback. And there's going to be momentum built, and there's going to be new days ahead of us that will be great. And then that sets you free is to initiate. It sets you free to dream again. And I was talking to John, and he was telling me about how y'all worked so hard. We saw the old building and how you outgrew that. And then they had to buy this property. And I saw the pictures of how you dug through all the rock and worked so hard to build this property. And then COVID hit, and then there hasn't been quite as many people here. But that's all right. That's just a thing. It's just a thing. Now's our time. Now's our time to be the church. Now's our time to grow the church. Now's our time to start with a new leadership, and it's time to start with this church and move the church forward again, because there's nothing like the church when the church is working the way God intends it to work. And then it activates, just puts our faith into action and motion. So hope on a solid foundation is the greatest thing that can propel us to a great future. Romans 15:13 says this: May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope in the power of Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, believing that ye abound in the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's kind of the secret sauce of joy and peace and hope. And if you can recognize, if you can cling to hope, you will see great things happen here again. But if you just cling to the past, that's going to drag you down. You have to cling to hope, the hope that's in the biblical rock of Jesus Christ. Now, hope-filled people are merely just transformed people. Look at John 3, 3 to 10. This is a story of Nicodemus. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now remember the scene there. He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the law. He's esteemed among the Jewish people. But he knew. He heard Jesus teach. He saw miracles that Jesus was doing. He knew that in his heart that he was the Messiah. But to follow Jesus would mean he would lose everything that he had in Judaism. He would lose the prestige and power of being a Pharisee. So he sneaks off to see Jesus at night. And Jesus says something very interesting. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." You cannot see the kingdom of God or understand the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And listen to Nicodemus, probably something most of us would have said, because most people didn't understand Jesus right off the bat. He says, "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and spirit." Now that's interesting what he was telling them, because they were still under the old covenant. They were still under the law when Nicodemus went to see Jesus. But Jesus is telescoping again to the day of Pentecost, when the believers would be born of water and they would get the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the church would begin. And then he says, and this is one of my favorite verses, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." If you don't want to be born again, you live in your flesh, that's just going to cause degradation in your life. Any person who does not let Jesus be Lord of their life, they're going to see a decline in the existence of their life, because they have not relinquished themselves to the Lord. Because flesh just gives birth to more flesh. But spirit gives birth to spirit. He said, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes or from where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things." See, those people, those Jews in Jesus' day who believed in Jesus, they were born of water and spirit. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized into Jesus Christ. Sins were forgiven to rise to walk in newness of life. Not flesh becoming more flesh, newness of life, abundant life. Like he said to the woman at the well, living water will bubble up inside of you. And she said, "Well, how can I get this water all the time?" And he's saying, "Oh, no, that water, you're going to get thirsty again, but this water will bubble up inside of you, because spirit gives birth to spirit. You must be born again." And it's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you, because it takes you out of the devil's reign and puts you in God's kingdom, where you can really learn what God is about. You can learn what true life really is. So hope-fueled people are born again. Then they're spirit-filled as well, because Acts 2:36 and 38, one of the famous sections of scripture that we all know in the restoration movement, Peter's preaching his first sermon that was ever preached in the bringing in the church in the New Testament age. Peter stands up with 2 million people in Jerusalem, and he starts to preach that we killed the Messiah. You Jews killed the Messiah. And he says, "Therefore, let Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit." See, the Holy Spirit can't live where unforgiven sin dwells. The indwelling presence of the Spirit needs a holy vessel. It needs a vessel that God will fill. It needs that newness of life, being our sins forgiven in baptism, to rise to walk in newness of life. So new believers who come to Jesus his way, They're born again and they're spirit filled. And when you're born again and they do such incredible things that we talked about last night and they're spirit filled, then they're filled with hope for the future no matter what happens in their present. They're also heavenly focused. And I want to dwell here. I just mentioned this last night, but I want to dwell with Colossians 3, 1 to 14. Listen to this powerful section of Scripture. Since then you have been raised with Christ, you have been born again. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Oh boy, we could park there for about the next hour. For you died. I didn't die, I'm still living. Oh no, you died. Your old man died when you were baptized into Jesus Christ. He said, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's a beautiful statement. Your born again, spirit-filled life is now with Christ in God. When Christ, listen to how he says this, it's cool. When Christ, who is your life, that's what the New Testament believers had. You know, the church was not a mild time for the church in the first century. Church was their life. He says, when your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And then he kind of gives a clue to how we need to live this new born-again life. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. Huh? Our nation needs to hear that right now. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Any person, any family, any city, any nation, any country who chooses not to follow the will, purpose, and word of God is going to suffer the consequences. And the consequences is going to be flesh breeding more flesh. Sin breeding more sin. But Jesus offers us life that is truly life. He's because of these desires, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in this way in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such of these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of our Creator. I don't know whether you remember or you realize this. When you are born again and you're spirit-filled and your mind's focused on heaven, you're being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's exciting. When I was baptized, Debbie and I were baptized in 1987 in Ocean View, Delaware. And I came up out of the water, and I was a ball of fire. I'm telling God, look, you take my life and you use it any way you want. I never thought he would put me in a pulpit. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But I told him, here I am. You use me the way you want to use me. And I couldn't get enough of it. You know, I was studying with Terry. You know Dick Chambers? Anybody know Dick Chambers? You know Dick, yeah? Well, you know Dick, okay? Dick, I'd ask Dick, I said, he was starting a church down in Ocean City, Maryland. I said, Dick, can I study with you? He said, yeah, come into my garage on Tuesday nights. We'd study in this garage, and I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Why? Because I was born again. I was spirit-filled. My old Dennis was dead. Now I'd risen to walk in newness of life. I don't want to live the way I used to live. The way I used to live was a burden on me. And it was a burden on Debbie and my family. God has a better way for us to live. He says in verse 15, Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Just think how great you would feel. Just think how motivated you would feel if you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Even in 21st century America, I was telling the preacher today, I said, you know, we ought to really take a different look. Sometimes we go through these hard times and these difficult seasons, and we start thinking, woe is me, woe is the church, all this. I said, man, this ought to start exciting us. Because the Bible said things are going to get worse and worse till the end. As we see things getting worse, we ought to get more excited that Jesus may come soon. And we're doing his work, and he's going to come, and he's going to redeem us. And he says, call to peace and be thankful. Listen to this, verse 16. Let this message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It was a joy listening to the band praise God tonight. I love this young man's new instrument. I've never seen that before. But how cool did it sound? And it was bringing glory to God. And then we had the picker back there. Dave the picker said, I can't pick a guitar anymore. He was picking a guitar. Sounded great to me. Amen. And whatever you do, Oak Grove, listen to this. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You're born again. You're spirit-filled. Give thanks to God. Don't moan about what has happened in the past. Oh, we're not as big as we were in the past. You just praise God. Let the Spirit of God flow through you, and you'll attract so many people. Because what I know is hope-filled people brings hope-filled churches. And they're filled and fueled with hope-filled believers. Let's look. We saw the passion, what caused the passion of the church in the first century. They believed in the power of the resurrection. But look at what they did once they were born again and spirit-filled. Acts chapter 2, 42 and following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. They devoted themselves not to earthly things, but to the things of God. They devoted themselves to the teaching. See, in the beginning, they didn't have the New Testament. So they were listening to the apostles and those who would write the Word of God in the New Testament. You know, they would send those churches circular letters to the churches. They devoted themselves to the Scripture. We need to do the same. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. There's nothing like fellowship in the church when the church is being the church that God intended to be. And let me have a sidebar and a promotion for tomorrow. There's nothing like a church dinner. Can I hear an amen? That's why I came to Gene Andrews said, I'll make you a big man in the brotherhood. I didn't know it was going to be because of church fellowship dinners. Devote yourself to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and the prayer. See, devotion to God makes us otherworldly because we're more focused on heaven than we are on earth. And then finally, they lived incredibly vibrant lives. Acts chapter 2, 43-47. Now listen to what the Scripture describes what that first little group of believers, how they were. Everyone, not half of them, not some of them, everyone was filled with awe, wonder. How could this be? This Jesus, this person who told me everything about my life, this person who taught me more than any other person could ever teach me. He taught as God. This person who redeemed me, the person we saw die in Jerusalem on a cross, died for me. They were within a just wonder-filled. Many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. And they were performed by the apostles in the beginning of the church to bring credibility to their message as they went out and preached. He says, all the believers, not some of them, not half the congregation, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That doesn't sound like a miserable group of people. That sounds like people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That sounds like people who are born again and Spirit-filled. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. See, transformed, Spirit-filled people thrive because of good Bible. And I was talking to somebody who came in tonight, and they said, well, we're kind of new to the church. I said, well, what drew you here? Good Bible that they saw on Facebook Live. Good Bible that they heard from their preacher. Drew them out of the world and into the church. I say, praise God, Mr. Archie. You're doing what God called you to do, man. Amen? Amen? Amen. Good fellowship. I sense it in here. Good doctrine. The Lord's Supper. Good prayer. Good signs are happening. Good will. Good deeds. Good news shared to people who were lost. And all that goodness produces the atmosphere that God can grow the church. You just be God's people. You create the atmosphere here where people can sense the presence of God. And more people will be born again. More and more people will come out of the darkness and into the light. And all that goodness, God will produce the great growth that needs to happen. Does that describe you right now? I pray so. I sense there's a lot of potential here. Does that describe your walk as you came in here? Do you know you're born again? Do you know that you're God's? Do you know that heaven is the goal of your faith? So I just challenge you. Live with the hope that transformed people should have. When we know that our future is secured by God, we lose our unbelief. We lose our doubt. We lose our fear. This church ain't going to close. This church ain't going to close. If you're born again and Spirit-filled and have purpose, the purpose of the first century. If you're in awe with the church, people will be attracted to the church. If we don't have the hope that's in Christ Jesus and that Christ is for us, the Bible says if God is for us, what? Who can be against you? The only who that can be against you is you. O ye of little faith. O ye who are more tied into the world maybe than giving your life to Jesus Christ. See, godly hope, it allows the potential of the church to reign supreme. 1 Peter 1:13 says, set your hope fully on the grace that brought you to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I've been in many, many churches. And some of them were as cold and dead. And when the revival speaker came, they were cold and dead. And when the revival speaker came, they were still cold and dead. But they had a meeting. That ain't what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the opportunity for your heart and your soul to be lifted from the sin and misery of this age. Do you know we're living, coming out of COVID, we're living in one of the most depressed and mental health issues in our country more than ever. Those suicide hotlines are ringing more than they ever have. You are the hope of the world. You're the hope of Asheville. You're the hope of Mill Creek or wherever the heck we were today. You're the hope of the world. I pray you will live your hope.